Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center, and I am so happy to see all of you. And welcome to those who join us in our virtual community space as well. You are a part of us. There is increasing research and investigations being done at the intersection of science and religion, or science and spiritual practices. More and more researchers are looking at the effects of spiritual beliefs, spiritual practices on our brains, our emotional and mental well-being, our physical health, and even our relationships, which is why we're in the middle right now of a three-part series, Science and Spiritual Living. Last week we looked at gratitude, next week is mindfulness and prayer, and today is forgiveness. When it comes to forgiveness, we receive some mixed messaging from society. When I did some research, the studies show that most Americans are able to say, yes, we need more forgiveness. I need more forgiveness in my life. We need more of it in the nation and in the world. But then when asked how much forgiveness they do, not that much. Which I guess means other people need to forgive, but not me, right? I don't think that's going to work that well. But we receive messages from society about forgiveness, such as, well, to forgive is to forget, right? Or it's like giving somebody absolution or a pardon. It's telling them it's okay. It's condoning bad behavior. Or we're told that forgiveness is actually a sign of weakness. You just don't have the courage to stand up for what you believe in. None of that turn the other cheek. You're supposed to fight back. We're told a lot of times that forgiveness is abandoning justice, because we might not have the resolve to carry through in seeking justice if we're not angry. We're told that forgiveness disrespects the victim and their pain. And lastly, we're told some things are simply unforgivable. But all this unforgiveness keeps us stuck. Keeps us stuck in the past, playing in our minds over and over and over again the same painful experience. We're stuck and we can't move on. We bring that pain into our lives today and we suffer for it. Research shows quite a bit of detrimental effects from unforgiveness. This idea that we're supposed to just seek retribution and revenge, the vitriol, you know, all this stuff that feeds the cycle of abuse and violence, it does a lot of damage to our emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual health. Summarizing from Johns Hopkins and the Mayo Clinic, the effects on our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health include: we're giving control of our lives to other people, We stay in a constant state of fight or flight, which leads to changes in our heart rate, blood pressure, and immune response, all of which increase the risk of depression, heart disease, and diabetes. We bring anger and bitterness into our relationships. We're not capable of enjoying the present moment. We have increased irritability and anxiousness. We lose valuable connections with other people, and we feel at odds with our spiritual beliefs. Add to that list the detriments that spiritual teachers throughout the ages have warned us of: unforgiveness, feeling disconnected from the divine, a hardening of our emotions. We feel a sense that we have limited options in how to respond to life. Unforgiveness clouds our judgment and our ability to discern. It locks us out of the flow of life. It deadens our spirit, meaning we can't really express who we truly are. Our anger makes a servant of us, and we might even develop anger towards God, our faith, or even life itself. Which is why many sources tell us unforgiveness is like ingesting poison and hoping the other person dies. It is not going to work that way. But all these attitudes about forgiveness really confuse what forgiveness is. It's not condoning bad behavior. And it's certainly not forgetting it, because we probably can't. It's not telling the other person, well, it's okay, no big deal. It's not learning to live with it. Forgiveness is really about releasing the anger, the pain, the resentment, the grudges. Forgiveness is realizing that no matter what we do to harm them, it will not heal us. In fact, forgiveness really doesn't have a whole lot to do with the other person at all. It's about us. It's about loving ourselves enough to let it go. It's about showing ourselves some self-respect and self-love. It's about us. Which is why Steve Maraboli says, forgiveness, it's not because they deserve it, it's because you do. Sometimes forgiveness is about loving yourself enough to move on. It's also remembering that unforgiveness is like a poison, which is why Joyce Meyer reminds us forgiveness doesn't excuse their behavior. Forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying your heart. What this all really comes down to is forgiveness is freedom. In fact, in Arabic, they use the same word for free and forgiveness. That's how closely these two ideas are related to each other. Another great thinker, Louis B. Smead, says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. Two prisoners of war who had spent quite a bit of time in captivity under some really hard conditions, years later they happened to run into each other. And one asked the other, so have you forgiven our captors yet? And he says, oh, no way, not going to happen. And so the first one says, well, then I guess they still have you imprisoned all these years later. Freedom through forgiveness. That's what it does for us. So what are the benefits of forgiveness? Well, it lets us take back control of our lives. You know, I've never quite understood, and I'm guilty of this, so sometimes I don't understand myself, why we give so much control of our life today to people we claim to want to have nothing to do with. We are complicated beings. So forgiveness helps us say, thank you, I'll take that control back, have a nice life, right? And it also releases us from the past It helps us move forward. This is actually the real meaning of the story of Jesus and the paralytic man. As the story goes, some people bring to Jesus a man. He's on a quilt, and he's completely paralyzed, completely immobilized. And Jesus, being a man of great intuition and discernment and being fully in that oneness with all life, he realizes right away, there's nothing physically wrong with this man. So he says to him, "You are forgiven. Get up and walk." The man gets up and walks because he's been released from the burden of his past mistakes. He was trapped and unable to move. Remember, when we read Bible stories, it's always best to take a metaphorical, metaphysical interpretation. That's what that story means. If we want to move forward, we have to forgive the past. This story also represents the importance of self-forgiveness. This man needed to be relieved of the burden of his own mistakes, and that's what Jesus helped him with. And he was able to get up and walk. So again, these researchers have a long list of the benefits to our emotional, physical, and mental health when we are able to forgive and make it part of our daily living. Lower risk of heart attack. This is all from Johns Hopkins and the Mayo Clinic again. Lower risk of heart attack, improved cholesterol levels, improved sleep, reduced pain, lower blood pressure, stronger immune system, less anxiety and depression, less stress, less hostility, more peace and hope, healthier relationships, increased empathy and compassion, and improved self-esteem. That was a mouthful. All right. Add to those benefits this even more spiritual benefits that we learn from teachers like Jesus and Buddha and others. Deep inner peace, finding the meaning in the difficulties of life, increased compassion for self and others, better spiritual discernment, which means we get a clearer picture of what we need to do in our lives. It's an act of selflessness which helps break the cycle of abuse, hatred, and retribution. Increased sense of oneness with God and each other, and it aligns us with our spiritual principles. Again, from Jesus, we learn this lesson of being aligned with our spiritual principles and how important it is. This was the meaning when he told his disciples in the Lord's Prayer, when you're going to go pray, before you pray, do your forgiveness work. Before you pray, forgive yourself and others. Now, why would this be important to do before we pray? Because it helps bring us in alignment with spiritual truth. Actually, it helps bring us in alignment with the spirit within and the spirit itself. Because when we do forgiveness and we're releasing that anger, which is unlike spirit, and we move to a place of compassion and understanding, then we're more in alignment with that spirit. And this not only improves our own well-being, but we should do this before we pray because it makes our prayer actually more effective when we're in that kind of alignment. All of these spiritual benefits also add or contribute to those benefits in our emotional, physical, and mental health. They're all intertwined because, of course, we are an integrated being. We are not a body and a mind and a soul. We're all integrated. So those are the benefits. Now, what's the process of forgiveness? Again, our spiritual teachers throughout the ages and these experts in physical and mental health, they agree on some fundamental aspects of forgiveness. First, and perhaps the hardest to accept, is it's a lifelong process. There is always something to forgive. We humans are not perfect. We all make mistakes. So it's perhaps inevitable that we're going to hurt each other, unfortunately, which means there's always something that could use our forgiveness, either towards ourselves or others. This is what Jesus meant when somebody asked him, one of his disciples says, "Teacher, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? He said, "Oh, no, not 7 times. 70 times 77, which in that day was understood to mean always, continuously. It's never going to be done. Buddhism teaches the same thing. In Buddhism, one of their core principles is letting go. Letting go of the hurtful emotions, letting go of expectations, letting go of expecting people to be different than they are, letting go of wanting things to be different than they are. And if you are going to live your life this way so you can be fully present today, you must have forgiveness as part of that process. So forgiveness is a lifelong work. It also requires a great deal of inner work. Part of that inner work is, yes, acknowledging our pain, but also reflecting on how carrying that pain with us for perhaps years, reflecting on how that's affecting us. Having some self-awareness about this. Another part of that inner work, I've already hinted at, give up expectations. Give up the expectation that that person needs to apologize first. Give up the expectation that that person needs to change their behavior first. It may or may not happen, so we'd be better off just giving up these expectations. Next, forgiveness requires that we find a way to physically release what we're releasing, the anger and the bitterness, the resentments. This is going to differ for all of us. You might be one of those people who needs to journal all about it, the whole sordid affair, what happened, who was involved, my role in it, how it's affecting me today, and I just need to let it all out, all these expectations, and then rip it up and burn it. Maybe you're somebody who needs to move. When I create rituals, I tend to need movement. So I do it on my bike, or I do it dancing, or whatever. Create some movement that's part of this ritual of releasing it. You might be musically inclined, so you might find a song that really helps you get into that place of forgiveness and listen to it every night. Maybe do a little dance with it or sing. Something that helps you physically release this. Next, all of our teachers agree that forgiveness is cyclical. Forgive and be forgiven, which is what Jesus meant when he said, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Again, remember Jesus was teaching about consciousness. If we remember that, then we realize that what this means is that it is impossible for us to have an inner sense of being forgiven if we are still holding some contempt towards other people. It's cyclical. Forgive and be forgiven. That's the only way the cycle is going to end. And lastly, forgiveness requires compassion and understanding. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the time of his deepest pain, Jesus is able to have compassion and to understand that these people who crucified him were not bad people. They were mistaken people. They knew not what they did. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Whoa! I might need to journal about that. Dr. King called this Jesus' finest hour. a man who could have compassion and understanding. If we are to forgive, we must have empathy and try to see things from their perspective. Try to understand what it's like to be in their shoes. I know this is difficult. This is really difficult. Maybe it will be a little easier if we can remember that hurt people hurt. Lori Pollard learned this in a very profound way. Lori Pollard was 3 years old when she was kidnapped from her family's front yard, horrifically abused, I won't go into it, and then left in a pit toilet in the hills outside of Denver, Colorado. That's where she was found 3 days later. Lori, because her story was all over the news when this happened years ago, she received lots of free therapy for years to help her move through that trauma. And at some point, as she got older, she learned that her kidnapper had been abused when he was 3 years old. And he never got the help he needed. Lori learned to forgive this man. She would go on to be a co-founder of EndCAN, End Child Abuse and Neglect, a nonprofit. A large part of the work they do is help with people who have been abused, because she's realized this is the only way we're going to end this cycle. And she tells the story of being invited to speak in a prison to a group of men who were there because they had abused children. And this woman, she got up, and the very first thing she said to these men is, "How many of you were abused as children?" Every single one of them raised their hand. Lori forgave the unforgivable and is helping other people do the same. We can do this. We can forgive the unforgivable. We can reclaim our lives. We can move forward into a better, healthier future, and we do it through the freedom of forgiveness. Let's pray. I invite our practitioner prayer partners and ministers to stand and to hold this prayer in their consciousness as well. Thank you. There is one thing going on in the universe. It is the only thing that ever has been, is now, or ever will happen in the universe. It is that one love that at some point decided, I must express myself. So it creates, and it creates, and it creates. And it created me, and it created you, and it created all of this magnificent universe. It creates and continues to create all of life, which means it created every human being that ever has been, is now, or ever will be. And it creates from itself. Meaning every single person within the sound of my voice is from and of that love and that wisdom and that light and that strength. Which means we can do forgiveness. We are strong. The very core of our being is that love that wants to come through more and more and more. We can do forgiveness and reclaim who we are. And I know every one of us does this more and more and more for ourselves and for the sake of all human beings everywhere, because it ripples and it ripples and it ripples out. And I'm so grateful in that sense for how connected we are. Thank you, life. Thank you, spirit. I release this prayer. I release this knowing. I release this intention to that loving law that says, yes, my child, welcome home. And so it is.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.